Well, good morning to the Vines Uniting Church. And if you are happen to watching us online today, you are very, very welcome. The encouragement to all of us today is that you'll hang around for the next little while, because we are about here at the Vines is encouraging us in our faith journey. Well, I know for me, as we are confronted, I think the word confronted is the right word to use today, with the transfiguration of Jesus. Now, transfiguration is a very big word. Basically, what it means is that Jesus went from being human. We actually remain human, but he got transformed into his divine self. And as the disciples watched this incredible scene unfold before them, they didn't know what to do, which is quite understandable. We get overwhelmed and we get taken away by something as incredible as Jesus transforming into his divine self. Now, the journey today, the disciples went up the mountain. They were on top of the mountain and they came back down the mountain on the other side. This is the journey that we are invited to come onto today. And for us in Adelaide, Victor Harbour is literally an hour's drive from here. And I know for me, the minute I drove over that hill and I see the Granite Island and the bluff, I'm transformed into another place. It's a place of wonder, a place of beauty, and always a place of holiness for me. And particularly around by the bluff itself, there's just something about that place that reminds me of how amazing God is. Particularly when you look away from Victor Harbour to the coastline along there, absolutely stunning. And so, for me, it's a holy of holies place for me. And I suppose the invitation for all of us today is to discover for ourselves what those places are within. Anyway, we're going to start with the song Ancient of Days. So I invite you to stand and sing. Through the ancient of days.
from every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare a glory, every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, our God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days.
I invite you all to join in this prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are the Ancient of Days. We thank you that even before the creation of the world, you were. And Father, we thank you that in this year, 2021, you still are. You have this world still in your hands. And we can go into our days, our weeks, and our years knowing that you have got this world in your hands. Knowing that you have got our lives in your hands. Knowing that you have every moment of every day in your hands. For you are God who gives every good thing. We hold our hearts out to you. We come in faith as we stand upon your word. Oh God, we put our trust, we put our faith, we put our everything in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, sustainer, creator, Lord, for you are pure and holy. We come before your throne, shepherd, shepherd of my heart, redeemer. God, you give every good thing. We hold our hearts out to you. We come in faith as we stand upon your word. Oh God, we put our trust in you. Comfort in time of weakness, gifts to glorify thy name, trays overflowing, heaven, God three in one, you promise. Have life without end. For you are God, you give every good thing. We hold our hearts out to you. We come in faith as we stand upon your word. Oh God, we put our trust, Lord, we put our trust. Trust in you. I trust in you.
Please be seated. As we continue our worship, one of the things we've been doing during COVID is been using one of the Psalms. And we know that the Psalms often pick up that experience of life and faith and try and mesh them together. So I'm going to invite you to share this psalm with me. You get to respond in the bold. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and do not forget how kind he is.
The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry and full of constant love.
He does not keep on rebuking.
He is not angry forever. He does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs.
As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him.
As far as the east is from west, so far does he remove our sins from us.
As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him.
Well, welcome here. We're now live. So in a moment, we're going to greet each other. And so if you want to avoid having your face on or you want to have your face live, come down the front. So for those online, wish you all the best. And I hope you're having a wonderful Valentine's Day. How many people are doing something for Valentine's Day? Okay, very awkward. It's not too late to go to the shops on the way home, people. Quick card and a chocolate suits men perfectly. Men flowers, I think, is the go. We've got coffee and tea afterwards. We can continue the conversation. Now, for those younger people amongst us, would you like to come down the front to experience Dave's dodgy drawings firsthand? Come on. Come down the front, you guys. I've got if you'd like to come down the front, you can come and sit down. Now, one of the challenges with this reading today, we're talking about the transfiguration. I can't even spell that word. So I thought I'd draw it for you. Okay. So, there were three disciples. Dun, 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 dun. I told you they were dodgy. All right. Now, three of them plus Jesus. He had a flowing gown, I'm sure, and a halo. Obviously didn't think that through very well. But that's Jesus. You know, he's got a robe and he's got his halo. Now, the four of them walked up the mountain. And that was a pretty hard journey. Look, they would have had to hold and lift each other up, push, push. And at the top of the mountain, the three of them stopped, plus Jesus. And then suddenly there was this great big light and three other people appeared. No, two other people. Maths is not something I did very well either. So we'll just draw a couple other heads there, and there's just lots of stuff happening here. So Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Peter, this is this guy, he was so impressed, he said, let's make three buildings. So he wanted to make three buildings because he was so impressed what was happening. So there's the three buildings, okay? And he thought it was going to be fantastic because they could all camp up there and stay up there. But that's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was talking to these three, the other two guys, two plus one is three, the other two, and they were talking about this. There we go. I think I've got that. They were talking about that. What is that, Sam? What is it? It's a cross. So Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah about this cross. And as they're talking, there was some other things happening. There was a storm. Lightning. Oh, all right. And then there was this big voice that said, David can't draw. No. It said, my Son, listen to him. So God said, my son, listen to him. So they were talking about, God was talking about Jesus. And they was talking about something very special that was going to happen. And so when the disciples all So the disciples were confused. This is what the disciples were feeling like. Okay, this is their face. Is that a confused face or is that an angry face?
Confused.
All right, confused. So the disciples were feeling confused, had lots of question marks, but they kept following. It's a pretty steep mountain. But as they went down, they kept following. They didn't really understand totally, but they kept following. And so that's a bit like us. So even though there's some things we don't understand, we keep following and we learn. So when we get older, we keep the journey going and we learn more about stuff. And then as we come to Easter, this is the thing that disciples were going to discover. And that's something that we know. And what is, so we're talking about Easter, aren't we? And Easter, Jesus dies, but then comes back to life. So this is the thing that these were talking about, and the disciples were confused about, but they would learn over the coming weeks. So Easter is coming, and we're going to be doing some more thinking about Jesus and the cross. Do you have any questions? Good. I thought we all have questions. Let me share a prayer with you. Okay, let's pray. Hands together. Thank you, Jesus, that there's lots of things we're confused about, but we know that you love us, that you're with us wherever we go. So thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well done, people. Thank you very much. And I hope those people watching online can make some sense out of this. Now, I haven't quite inflicted Dave's dodgy drawings on PAC yet. But there will come a time, and I think I'll probably have to rename it Dave's Dynamic Drawings. I'm not sure they'll cope with dodgy very well. But hey, look, I hope you're well. We have some notices. I know we had some dramas with our normal logging in and accepting. What is that called again? Ticks? Venue ticks? No?
Human ticks.
That's it. I knew it was some ticks. So I had some dramas with that during the week. And for you who have come along today, well done. Next week, the moderator is coming along to preach. So that's a bit of a coup. Got him to come along. I said, well, come and share your message with us. We know he's a very busy person, but it's great to be able to get him to come along and share some of, I guess, his message and maybe answer some of your questions. Lenten studies. I want to do a series of Lenten studies where the sermon launches the week of the study. Now, I know some people are already in small groups. If you are interested in being in a small group, email me or Colleen. So we've got a couple other options available to run some different groups if you'd like. Don't forget, by the end of this month, I need you to nominate some other people you think would be good on the leaders' teams, either as counselors or elders. So again, there's a little bit of a different role. But if you've got some people you think, man, you'd be great on the leadership team, and then please nominate them. And so at the end of the month, we can be clear about who they are. It gives us 2 weeks to actually think and pray about that and then vote for them on the 14th of March, which is our congregational meeting. All right, I think that's probably enough for me. Any messages I've forgotten? Nope. Well, that's good. So I'm going to hand back to our reader. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Our reading today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 37. The Transfiguration. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up onto the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the things I love to do when I'm at Victor Harbour is go up the bluff, particularly just to see the sun rise. It's a view which is just completely there. But I don't know about you, when we go up to the top of something, we get a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement about what it is that we're going to see. What stunning bit of view are we going to see when we get up the top? Well, I can only just imagine the disciples as they started to go up the mount. They're halfway up and they started to get this feeling that something was about to happen. And they might have started to feel, man, I don't think I'm worthy to actually do this, to be with Jesus at this point. But Jesus still bid them to come. We have an opportunity this morning as we are again confronted with the transfiguration of Jesus. To look at ourselves, to review ourselves over the last week, and just to have a time of just laying your hearts before God with whatever it is you need to actually say to him. I can't actually pray that prayer for you. This is a prayer between you and God. And so there'll be a few moments just for you to silently reflect. There'll be some stuff up on the screen you can look at, and we'll come back a little bit later.
Heart can be free, my promise to you. Create a clean heart in me. I am your child, help me to see. Forgive me, Lord, renew my heart and put a right spirit in me.
Our God is faithful and just. He is so faithful and just. And the scripture says that if we can confess our sins, God is faithful and true and will forgive our sins. He will cast the sins as far as the west is from the east. So I'm authorized to be able to say to you, because of scripture, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
For months and years, the disciples had followed Jesus. They'd seen his miracles. They'd even performed miracles in his name. And yet they were completely staggered to see him transfigured in all his glory. They fell on their knees, overcome with awe. And Peter offered to make three dwellings for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. I'd like to ask you, if you're able, if you'd stand with me now as we listen to Luke's words once again. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up onto the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Look, I need to say a couple of thank yous. Trevor, good job, man. Trevor stepped in last week with very short notice and has been thinking about this Transfiguration service for a long time, and you can tell by the different things we've done. And thank you for all the tech crew and the band, because we've had a few challenges during the week, but it's nice to be here and live this morning. So let me say a prayer as we prepare ourselves to consider the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for the life that you flowed into us and through us. We ask that we would get a better understanding of what this means for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been journeying through Epiphany, which means being surprised by God. We've had those aha moments, you know. And we've also recognized that for the disciples, sometimes their aha moments seem to take forever to sink in. And today, we recount a story where the disciples were totally confused, because unlike us, they hadn't experienced the death and resurrection of Jesus. So this event with Jesus on the mountain was utterly confusing. Yet they knew it was profound. So it's hard, I guess, to have an experience where you struggle to put words to. I mean, like Trevor talked about going over the hill when you come in the Victor. It's just a beautiful sensation. The video clip we saw with nature, sometimes it's just captivating, isn't it? Sometimes plants or flowers, or it just catches our breath. And how do we describe that or talk about that? Part of what was really significant for those people, the disciples and those hearing the story early, was that Moses and Elijah were two of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And they understood that when these two figures appeared, the end times were coming. But there's also a sense in which there was a passing on. It was like a mantle. Like in the old days, the prophets would anoint a new prophet by passing the mantle or the cloak onto the next one. And in this way, these two pass on to Jesus the responsibility for the love of his people and for leading the people of Israel. And as we know, humanity. So when we think of Moses, there's lots of great movies, isn't there? Charlton Heston, big burly Charlton leading the people out of captivity. Elijah is, we remember Elijah because he was taken up to heaven in a flaming chariot and never saw death. So these are two key figures. Moses and Elijah handling the mantle over to Jesus. And I love the three disciples that Jesus took with him. And I should actually do a nice picture. This is one of the pictures that was painted about the Transfiguration. And the three disciples that Jesus took with him were the ones who stuck their foot in their mouth the most frequently. Which is a great relief, isn't it, really? And their experience on the mountain really reinforced the fact they just didn't get it. Even when the booming voice of God says, "This is my son, listen to him." Peter says, "Oh, why don't we build some tents? You know, sure, that'll make all the difference. We can stay here forever." What did he miss? Just didn't understand it. Now, this man they'd travel with, this Jesus, this carpenter, this person who had called them to follow out of their boats, to leave their taxes, to leave what they're doing and follow, they were still being called to follow even if they didn't understand. And this is one of the things I want us to really be clear on. You do not need to know everything about your faith to follow Jesus. If we look at the New Testament, disciples really didn't understand lots of stuff. Yet the main focus was on following. So whether your faith is this big or really massive, the invitation to follow is the key thing. That's what we need to focus on. And when we look back at this story, we know that the cross is the pivotal thing that changes everything about how we see Jesus. So the confusing thing about life at times is that there are things we experience that are really hard to process. I remember going to a conference on pastoral care, and it was run by a Catholic priest, and it featured lots of men. Now, I know women, you were thinking, well, what about us? But it was really eye-opening to see men actually talking about their feelings. I mean, nothing personal, men, but really we're a bit Neanderthal in how we express ourselves sometimes. Someone asks us, how are we feeling? Ugh. I mean, how are you really feeling? Ugh. Or maybe I'm just talking for myself. Apologies, men, if you're really with it and you're able to communicate and express your feelings well. But I'm just putting it out there. Sometimes we need a little bit of help. And I think one of the things I liked about this, the conversation, was that we all have feelings and emotions. And trying to process them is fundamentally about talking about them first. So if we want to know what's going on, we have to talk about it. Mental Health 101 is talking about it. But there's three things that came out of this conference that really, I think, are relevant for us today. We all have a story. Each story has a meaning and worth, a core meaning. And then there's God's story. So we all have a story. And I often think it'd be great if we actually wrote our stories down. I mean, do you write your stories down? Have you written your stories down? Do people know your story? Because it's made of fascinating stuff. The highs and lows of life. But we all have choices about how we remember stuff. And sometimes we might have an experience that tends to catch us or makes us get stuck in a spot. It's almost like we have a, you know, like the old days when we had records. Remember records? The things you put on there. You guys remember it. What about you? But you put a record on, and if you scratched it, it would keep going back to the same point. And sometimes our lives tend to be a little bit like that. We get caught on an experience, and it just brings us back. Brings us back. Brings us back. Now, and I guess that's part of that hurt, that sense of connection that causes us great grief. And if we've been looking at the US politics, a bit hard to miss that. We know that Trump's really, what he's done is taken that place backwards, because the old wounds from the North and the South have just come back to life. And it's so sad. And I think what that shows is that there's still so much grief and hurt to work through. And well, look, Australia's no different. Let's not kid ourselves. But again, that there is a sense in which our lives have meaning, but there's a core meaning that we give to our lives. Now, I thought I'd do a little bit of a test, because sometimes we think that our lives are just scripted and there's no way we can change it up. Now, I want you to put your hand up if you consider yourself a good driver. A good driver. Automobile, car. Oh, some people haven't even stuck their hands. I'll do that again. Put your hands up if you think you're a good driver. Okay, leave them there, leave them there, leave them there. Leave them there if you have never had a speeding fine. Leave them there if you've never had a crash. Leave them there if you've never thought about the driver who's just cut you off and hope that they'd have a flat tire somewhere. Well, we've got one hand left. Well, Marilyn, congratulations. But look, I would think that I'm a really good driver. But I have to be honest with you people. I've got a lot of speeding fines. And I've had a number of crashes. I often say, rev by name, rev by nature. But it gets expensive, you know what I mean? But there's some things that I think, the reason I'm a good driver is, there's a couple of events I can think really clearly about that I've done well as a driver. Like I've actually got here today, in one piece, and that's a good thing. But I remember when we were in a ski slopes, we had a Tarago. I've still got the Tarago, front-wheel drive, so we had the chains on the front. Good boy. And car, we're coming down the slope, and for some reason, the rear end of the car just... And the edge of the road is just over there, and there's no barriers, and it just goes down. And I got a car full of my family, and my wife is starting to ping, like, ah. I said, honey, not now. And we just calmly corrected the car and just So that is probably my most pivotal point of being a good driver. And so regardless how many more speeding fines I get, I'm always going to think, I'm a good driver. But the reason I say that is because our lives are a bit like that. For all of us, we've all had a crash somewhere in our life, haven't we? We've always got speeding fines, and I'm not talking about physically speeding fines, but things where things have not gone well, where we've argued about something, where it's gone this way instead of that way. And yet, there are some things, some exceptions to the rule, that still give us life and meaning and hope. And they're the things that we want to identify and magnify. Because when you carry around all your rubbish, it just, your pack gets bigger. The older you get, it doesn't get smaller. You might get forgetful, but it still keeps adding up. So the focus then becomes, what are the good things we are trying to sustain ourselves and give us life? As we know, Judy and Keith have had a really tough couple of weeks, the Beams, and Judy's been sending emails, and we continue to keep them in our prayers. But there are those glimpses you hold on to, aren't they? The things of hope that just keep you going in the hard times. And that's a bit like our lives. It's about affirming those things. And there's a slide I like, which I came across. We all have a story to tell, and that story reflects that we all have issues, because we do have a story. And the fact we have a story means we have issues. And that's okay. You know, all of us are vulnerable, broken human beings, and that's okay, because that's just life. And we sort of try and paint a picture as if we're supposed to be armor-plated, but that's just not true. And no matter how much worth we've given to yourself or you've done to yourself, we all snap back sometimes. So easy, so be easy on yourself. Growth is a dance, not a light switch. And I like that image. And the thing about this story that's really important is that the disciples seriously didn't understand, but they kept following Jesus down the hill and through to the coming events of the Easter experience. Faith is like a dance. And it's one of those metaphors that I often use in baptism. You know, when a family comes along and we talk about life and faith, because we know that lots of people can know how to dance. I mean, how many people know the different types of dances we have in the world? Who can, you know, waltz, samba, disco, pogo? Yeah, lots of people know dances. How many people love the idea of dancing? Yeah, how many people actually dance? There's a difference, isn't there? You go to a dance, there's lots of people sitting on the wall, standing on the wall, not moving. Faith's not like that. Faith is head, heart, and dancing. It's involved. And this is what this whole process is about. So for me, Sunday's our reset Sunday, a chance when we balance our expectations with life. It's a chance when we connect in with this faith and dance, and particularly when we focus in with God's story. And what is God's story? God's story is about forgiveness, isn't it? Fundamentally. This is where we reconnect in. And when we talk about forgiveness, I know it triggers lots of different stuff. Because all of us have people that really have hurt us, and we just wonder what we should do with them. But forgiveness is not trying about how well we do ourselves, like becoming more determined. That's not what this is about. Forgiveness is about our cooperation with God, what God's already done. God's forgiveness flows to us and then through us. I love that image. God's forgiveness flows to us and through us. So the idea is that we're set free from the hurt and grief that we experience in life so that we can start afresh. So this is part of that God's story shaping our story, so that when we look at those points that are rub points and points of pain, it's the forgiveness and love of God that is flowing to us and through us that resets us. I mean, a lot of people in this world don't gather like we do, and so don't get the chance to hear the message of hope and reset their week. It's just like their week just continues on until something happens to make them think differently. But every time we gather, there's an invitation to have our thinking changed or our lives changed. And that's pretty profound. And the Spirit is at work in us. So God's story is our story and continues to shape us. So my prayer is that as we go into Lent, which is coming soon, that part of this reflection will continue to shape your journey. Amen. I'm going to ask you a few questions. The disciples were surprised by God's action in Jesus. Does your story need to be re-edited? Do you need to name God's work in your life or others? Or maybe, you know, where is forgiveness play into your life today? Lord, we thank you for your gospel of grace. Come and fill us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for our prayers of intercession, scripture and prayers.
And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. This is the time we pray for others and considering what we are now well into 2021 and have survived COVID-19 and 2020. Also, we think about the transfiguration of Jesus when his face and clothes shone and Moses and Elijah appeared to be talking with Jesus. And the voice of God spoke to the disciples with him and said, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The disciples were instructed to keep this to themselves at this time before Easter. In our journey with the Lord, let us not keep it to ourselves. Let us pray. Loving Lord Jesus, we come to you to pray for others. We pray for those that are not well, especially Keith Beams and Judy, who is supporting him. We pray for healing. We pray for those that have lost loved ones and are grieving. We pray for compassion. We pray for world leaders and leaders of our country, Australia. We pray for peace and wisdom. We give thanks for frontline workers, doctors, nurses, emergency services personnel, police, scientists, and researchers working on a vaccine. We pray for the leaders of the Vines and our church. We pray for patience, understanding, and strength. We pray that as we have begun 2021, that we will continue to serve you, Lord Jesus, with expectation. We ask these things and the unspoken thoughts that we have in our heads, that they be acceptable to you. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, it takes about half an hour for the sun to come up on top of the bluff. But Then I look forward and I see the town of Victor Harbour waking up. The island that we all just have to walk around when we go down there. And also we're looking to the other side to the waves crashing on the rugged coastline. But I need to come down the mountain. I come down to a place where Andre makes breakfast. Gets up 5:30 every morning to make breakfast for us. And the crew that hangs out there every morning to have a coffee and chat and conversation. Every morning without fail. Some of that group are no longer with them. Some of them are still there. And as we consider our down the mountain, to the roads around us, Pimpala Road, Ranell Road, States Road, Panatalinga Road, Woolcroft Shopping Centre, Southgate Plaza, O'Halloran Hill, Marion Shopping Centre. These are places that are down the mountain. These are places that are just God is just waiting, inviting and beckoning us to be a part of. So we don't wait for some pristine mission opportunity. We do it as we go. And the prayer this week is that as we go into our weeks, that there will be connection moments for every single one of us. For our God is an awesome God, and we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Let's stand and sing.
Go in peace to serve the Lord in whatever way you can this week. And remember that, again, the invitation is to keep connecting in with others. Meet small dinners, coffees, places we can go. Because to grow stronger through COVID, we need to pass on God's love in and through us. Go in peace. Amen.